If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sixes.
So happy to see everybody, Karen.
Hey there, Beverly Hills 90210 fans. It's now time to dive deep into an episode by episode.
Thank you for answering me today. It took me a little while to get on screen.
Song account of the making of your favorite zip code with your host, Charles Rosen.
I sit in a chair. It's one of Sandy's antiques. The whole thing breaks.
Larry Mullen.
He's not, shouldn't be even in this show. I hope they're going to kill him, and they did.
Pete Ferrero.
My, like, TV crush is Claire Arnold. So, I mean, she has to come on the show at this point.
And representing the fans, Lily Amorim.
Ryan, I love you. I have dreamt about you.
Along with many special guests and your questions. So sit back and relax, because it's, like, totally time for the Beverly Hills 90210 show.
All right, here we are again, and look who's with us.
Gabrielle.
AZ.
I love Andrea. It. Lily's such a fan, and Ian is the guy. Wow.
It's so good to have our usual suspects with us this week, but it's even more exciting to have Gabrielle here. Gabrielle, how's everything with you? How's all going on in quarantine and sort of in your world at this point?
Well, my personal life is great. My children and my fam, everybody's great, so I'm great. I'm also the president of my union, and there's a lot of, you know, pain right there right now for our members who are, you know, because of what's going on with COVID-19, what's going on with, you know, the skyrocketing costs of healthcare in this country. It's been a real journey trying to find a way to give them the support they need. But in my personal life, I'm with you. How great is that?
That's awesome.
So good to see you.
Well, listen, I want to start off by Taisha won a contest where she put in an essay. And it was just absolutely awesome. So we're going to let her ask you a couple of Andrea Zuckerman questions. But first, Taisha, you wrote a beautiful article. And Gabrielle, we got so many amazing essays that came in about the difference that you made in their lives and how they identified with you because they felt they were on the outside and you were an outsider kind of character. And I mean, I'm going to share all of those with you after the show. But Taisha,
yes. Hi, Gabrielle. I was the nerd in high school. I was the class of 92, and I felt like I was just like you, like your character. I was the head of the yearbook club because we didn't have a newspaper, and I just grew up watching the show, and I know that if the internet was like really around during that time, that you would have had a blog, like I have a blog. All my issues.
We would have blogged together,
Aisha. Yes, we would have definitely. And I was just so happy, even though there weren't characters that looked like me on the show. I just felt like all of the show's themes just resonated with me. So thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. You have a couple of questions, right?
Yes, I wanted to ask, do you think your character would have lost her virginity to Brandon, or would that have complicated things for the character and or the audience?
Good question.
Would that have, I think that's one of the, and you know what, we've never talked about this with Chuck and Karen. So I, you know, and Jessica, you know, Larry, I don't know, but I have a feeling that, I don't know why I seem to remember. I think Jason also felt that would have been a taboo thing to kind of like, it needed to stay separate, that tension was more exciting, that once you gave into that tension, then it became not interesting. So, that's, you know, how I Jason's a really dear friend of mine to this day. So the friendship better, you know, those relationships, they ended so long ago. So these are good to have, you know. Yeah, I don't think that it would have worked as well.
Oh, amazing. And
so would you have liked that, Taisha?
You know what? I think it would have complicated things a little too much, because I like the friendship vibe that you all had.
Yes. Okay, Taisha, you have another one, right? So what was the other question?
Yes, would you have liked the show to have delved deeper into the story of Andrea and Jordan Bonner?
Yes, and I wasn't allowed to. So really? I don't know. So Jordan, I'm trying to remember, I would have liked it actually. It was something that the networks didn't want.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about, because Jordan was, remind me.
He was the editor of the other newspaper. He was the Brandon. He came in Home and Away, where the based on a Dorsey football game where there was a gun incident. Someone was killed and they didn't have the football game, and West Beverly was supposed to play there in the next week. So
there was a lot of things. You guys should talk. I mean, I think this is good for, for Chuck and Jessica and Karen to talk a little bit about, but there was a lot of, I think it was hard to put Andrea in any kind of relationship in some ways, even with, you saw what happened with Jesse, right? Like, Marcus Mendoza is still a good friend. I was on the phone with him yesterday, so he's a lovely man. But I think it was really hard. It felt for me that it was hard for people to be able to write. I was older than everybody. Everybody kind of knew it but didn't know it when you saw me, right? And I think that there was a conflict, I felt, for the writers on that. And I also think that it was easier to keep Andrea it never felt like it was comfortable enough to keep her in a relationship. I don't know. You guys can talk about it as writers.
You know, I just have had the opportunity to watch some episodes that we have not seen really in 30 years, a long time, and forgot how many guys you kissed and things like that. There was a lot of those. I forgot, you know.
They did a video, and I cannot find this. If you guys have it, showing all the people Andrea kissed.
You and Peter Krause was the
yes,
one.
Peter Krause was just looking at that one. Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
It's so good. And
all right,
Taisha,
we're going to say goodbye to you. Is there anything else you want to say to Gabrielle before you leave?
Just thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for being a positive role model, you know, for everyone and even for my daughters growing up. Thank you.
How old are your daughters?
Oh, I have six of them. So they range. They're 1.5, 5, 8, 9, 12, and 13.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, my Lord.
You take care of yourself. It's so great to meet you.
Thank you. Nice to have you here, Taisha.
Bye.
All right. So there we go. Got started off on a nice little note there. Taisha, great questions. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Gabrielle, I'm so curious, you know, what was it like for you auditioning for the show? I mean, how'd you even hear about it? And what was the audition like with Aaron?
Well, first of all, I was living in New York at the time, and I came to L.A., and I was actually sharing a bed with my friend with a box of clothes next to it, just trying to go out. We didn't have cell phones then. So I would walk across the street to the gas station every morning to call my agent to see if I had an audition. And I went to audition for this show called Class of Beverly Hills, right? And yeah. I went to the casting director who, she liked me. She sent me forward to go see Tony Shepherd.
Tony Shepherd.
He did one of these. Gabrielle,
he did one
of these.
Here. Oh, my God. I just saw him last year. Anyway, so, and I went to go for that audition, and he was late for the audition, and I was talking to the casting person. I was so nervous. I said, would you read with me? She read with me, like, nonstop, because I was so nervous. He walked in, and he was in quite a mood, and he was like, and I could see that. I was like, oh, he's not going to even pay attention to my audition. I auditioned, and before I left, I said, I'm really sorry. You're having a hard day. I hope it gets better. And he looked at me like, wow. And then I was called back, and I always thought I was called back because I had taken a moment to see him. And then I went in. I had to go into – and I auditioned for both Brenda and Andrea. I went to network for both characters. So I signed a deal for both characters. Oh, yeah. So I had gone in, and I am a twin in real life. So when I went in for the final network audition, I brought a picture of my twin brother. And I said, this is my twin brother, just so you know that I'm your twin. And then when I went to come back in to audition for Andrea, I changed my top. And I, you know, I changed all my clothes and I came in as Andrea. And then when the deal happened, I got the role of Andrea. And that was, you know.
Amazing.
Did you put glasses on?
I wear my glasses so I can see. Yes. But I don't know that I wore them for Brenda. Maybe I did.
I was wondering.
Hey, Charles, what about for you? I mean, you weren't there for necessarily for that portion of it, but you got to meet Gabrielle pretty early on in the process. What was it about her that you just absolutely loved as her, as Andrea?
As Andrea or as Gabrielle?
Either.
Well, I love the circumstance. Well, Gabrielle was the only person on Monday mornings when I would come into Van Nuys that asked me how my weekend was. And I would always answer, was it a weekend? Because we didn't marry Jessica, Karen, and I, we no weekends, you know, with this show. But
I see she took the time to ask again. That's her personality. So
exactly. Right. But in terms of having a bright woman, a woman that a girl, I should say, high school teenager, who was not in the spelling mode, was not something, and I meant that as a, you know, in terms of who you'd see in spelling shows, it was like, oh, this is an interesting, this is person's different, the show could be different. And I loved very early on, like, you know, the fact that it was because I had young daughters at the time, so, here was this the editor of the paper. But also just the range, it became very clear, very more that it was not just a brainiac, but someone who may have had a crush on this other guy, and then she could play humor, and then she could, the range of it is what, as I remember. And also in terms of the character Gabrielle, one other thing, the person Gabrielle, when we, and this also not in the first year, but we would, our crew was really knew what they were doing after a while, particularly because the way they lit the sets, and we shot a lot on the sets. And we could actually finish a 7-day shoot, which was crazy that they weren't 8 days. We could finish them in six and a half days. Mm. There were only three people you could call to see, could we come in early and start working? One was Gabrielle, the other was James and Carol. So Gabrielle was also, as she says, slightly older, but also more mature. And I was thinking when Taisha was talking, you know, that was one of the reasons most likely that we wanted you to gravitate to, you know, well, the teacher, you know, what would that be like? Mm-hmm. And if the drama teacher, if he would have given a little bit more in the part, maybe something would have happened there. Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, Gil Myers, that was a nice relationship.
Can I say Yeah, I got to write some stuff for her romantically, but just on a personal note, season one, and I don't know when we watched this, but it was Luke Perry was interviewed some years ago, actually, talking about the first time he got together with the set, the first read we had, and he was just like meeting the whole cast. I didn't realize it, but he said it was at our house that he first met.
Oh, yeah.
So that was, you know, 1990. I was just learned I was pregnant with our third child, Avery. And who's now 29, if you can believe that, and engaged. And he, but I had a little incident and I was on bed rest. So we had already planned to have the cast over. So we said, okay, I could sit up on the couch. I was allowed and I wasn't even showing anything yet. And, Gabby came over like a person and said, how are you doing? Do you need anything? It was just, it's the same comments we just were repeating. It was like, she's there, you know, like she shows up. She's a real individual. And she always, while she wanted to ride the wave of the show and see what was going to come from it, her personal life, as she started to answer the question before, she is really important to her. And that grounds her and gives her a basis for a lot of rich acting. But, you know, as a, just to work with someone like that was a pleasure. So That was my memory.
That's beautiful. And Val Marin is watching along, says you were definitely made for Andrea. Very nice compliment. I want to take a second here because someone wants to say hello to you.
That was quick.
I just said I was just talking to Morgan how much I love you. That's beforehand.
Hey,
you
said
we were just talking. Mark is an outstanding human being. I just want you to know, a dear, lovely friend, a talented man. I adore Mark. My family loves Mark, but he is, I could cry how much I just did cry the other day with him on the phone. But I just think that he is, you are a marvelous human being.
Gab, I'm supposed to be singing your praises. We're going to do a Mark show. We're definitely going to do one, Mark. I that's a promise.
Yeah. Well, listen, I kind of put this ahead of time. I know we're going to talk about some other things first, but Mark was waiting, so I thought let's say hello and reunite Andrea and Jesse, right?
And the fans are going wild right now.
What's that?
The fans are going wild right now.
I just want Mark to know that I just watched the episode where I go to the hospital.
Right.
You know, because I, prematurely I'm going into labor. And I saw you, I was watching thinking, so beautiful. You know, I see you now and I just see you as who you always have been, but you really, such a beautiful man. So it was so wonderful to work with him. Honest to God. I really mean that. Such the most kindest man. Just love.
At the expense of being, too flowery, that one of the highlights of this 30 years in this business, theater, etc., was walking on the set and meeting you for the first time. And I'm not lying. I tell people that honestly every time because that was an incredibly important, big moment. And it could have gone completely wrong if it hadn't been someone like you. You are one of the finest people I've ever been on set with or at a dinner table with. And I mean that. I tell you that. I will text you that on occasion, but I want everybody to know that I mean that,
Mm-hmm. Chuck told me to watch another episode from season 5, Double Jeopardy, and I pulled this scene of the two of you guys working together. This is some incredible stuff here. I wanted you guys to take a look at this.
I mean, no one's here. We're all alone. What are you thinking?
Andrea, you're just not the girl I fell in love with anymore. The girl I fell in love with was self-confident. She was driven. She was decisive. She was going someplace.
Well, she got pregnant. She had to get married, raise a child, and go to school. Unless, of course, you thought that Hannah should have raised herself.
Let's forget it. Let's just drop it, all right?
I didn't become a mother and a housewife on my own. You were involved, too. So don't hold me accountable for the decisions we made together.
I don't remember being consulted about Peter.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
I didn't get any sound. I didn't get none of that. But I'm on an iPhone, by the way.
I know.
But Gab, were you mad at me?
Mark, I forgot that I had an affair on the show. And I literally just watched. I watched the show. One of the shows, and I was like, "That is just terrible. I can't believe I did that to Mark."
There was a moment about your affair. And maybe it was like two episodes before this one.
Yeah.
And it was, you told a lie to Mark about what was going on. And it's like, I don't know if I turned to Jessica. Well, we kept this going for 4.5 years without her ever lying. You know, everybody else was
and
a
now
liar.
You're diving down.
Moment, but not you. Except for maybe you lied to the Beverly Hills School District. But outside of that, which I give you a pass on that one. But not on the first one. You told the lie, you know.
I want to say, I think that the chemistry between the two of you in that scene and through these few episodes that you guys work with together is absolutely incredible. Gabrielle, working with Mark, What was that like from start to, because you kind of like arced a whole season with him. You had an affair, like we said. What was that like working?
Two seasons.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, it's interesting working on a show and having relationships. And for me, Mark is a very, very generous actor. So our cast didn't really like to rehearse. Right. And I really, you know, like to rehearse. It helps me to be more in the, you know, spontaneous in the moment because I'm not worried about the lines. Mark never hesitated. We would run through things and work and talk about, you know, the work. And it made it, I always felt very safe with Mark. In the most, there was so, he really exudes, and I'm happy to say in front of it, incredible love and support and really the willingness to talk through it. So it was a really, for me, it was kind of grounding, I think. To be able to work with Mark was, I always knew that I was safe. I was in a place. So it allowed me to really have fun. And he never, you know, he talks about coming into the show. He never felt like he was never a part of the show. Mm. When I remember when I first, the first scene we had was in the bar when I meet him. And he was so lovely just in that moment when I met him. And we would talk, and he's, to this day, he really is that nature. And it's, yes, he's a really, and it's, it makes a difference when you're working. You know, I didn't feel like I was, you know, having to push through it with him. Mm. Like, it's not, I just like, you know, I'm feeling a little lost here, whatever. Take your time, just try it this way. He's like really very generous.
Well, that is our job, is to be professional and know your stuff when you walk on set. And
let's talk ready to people about that when we work.
Larry, I want to ask you, you know, we're kind of hearing the season five thing, and we were talking a little bit about the Vital Signs episode that we all kind of dove into deep. This is a personal story for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I, you know, we were talking before, and like Gabby, I hadn't seen it in a while, and was pretty choked up at the end because I realized how personal it really was. And, you know, we were looking for drama to build her pregnancy. We knew that was going to happen. And you know, the premature baby story could be pretty dramatic. But I was thinking about all the moments that happened, which like Andrea and Jesse were feeling, which just, you just get punched in the gut. You keep hitting these bad numbers. They'll say like one in a thousand and one in, and you keep getting them. And I just remember that first day, because in that episode, you go to a doctor for a second opinion. And he basically says, you got to put yourself in the hospital. And just like Mark, I said, we're supposed to start Lamaze tonight.
Right.
I mean, that was right on. And then the whole dream, which was my wife Dee's dream, that she had kept having this recurring terrible dream that she couldn't find the baby. And it played beautifully. Dan Attias directed the episode. He's been on the show. We all know he does beautiful work. And he really sold that. And it's heartbreaking, really. And then you do find it in the episode. And so many of the other things, you know, the whole idea, Jesse has a wonderful scene with Brandon. And, you know, he talks about, just like my fear, I hope we have a girl because a girl's going to have a better chance to survive. And it's just and then also Gabby is blaming herself just the way, I mean, so there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of authenticity in the storyline, and the kids really committed to it. And then it's heartbreaking. And then you think everything's all right. She finds the baby in the dream, and then the water breaks and all hell, you know, she's like a month and a half early. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We're getting to be a season ender.
And there, I remember when you told me this was your story, right? So yeah. You told me how your son was your son, right? And he was so teeny when he was born. I remember you telling me the story.
Do you want to put the picture up, Peter?
Yeah, here's the picture.
Wow. You know? Wow.
Try to look at the thumb. Look at the thumb and see how big the baby was in proportion to that finger.
He was a pound and a half, a pound and three quarters, or... I remember you talking to me about
that. Yeah, I can't see it anymore.
Sorry.
He's fine, though. He's engaged. Gabby
also, yes, now. He's 39 years old, and like Avery, he's engaged also. But if, oddly enough, I think why it was a newsworthy story in the LA Times, besides, you know, there wasn't a lot of babies born that small that survived, was the writers were on strike. It was 1981. So not only was I, like, kicked in the gut with that, I'm on strike, and so Yeah, so that's what was going on.
Yeah, I'll look at you.
And Jess says, thank you for sharing that story with us, Larry. Jess,
well, I was going to say, I was just going to briefly say, as writers, and Karen, Chuck, and Jess know, we bring with us in our bag of tricks the ability to research, but also all our life experiences, and we try to adapt them and put all that stuff together. And sometimes stuff that really, you know, you understand so well that you can really do a good job with it and get some, you know, a real emotion, earned emotion.
Mm. Hey, Larry does one that's deep and emotional. My lifelong ambition, of course, was to be on Jeopardy. So, you know, in different ways we do.
I was an answer on Jeopardy.
You were, I bet. Really?
Oh, yeah?
Nice. Jeff, what was
the question?
Huh?
What was the question? Do you remember?
Like, what was the celebrities? I don't know, it was something, and it was me. And I asked them to say, I have a clip somewhere of it, because I said, I could never play the game, but if I could be the answer, that's great.
Well, Chuck, when you told me to check out Double Jeopardy, I was like, oh my God, this is great. But look at this scene of Andrea on Jeopardy. Hang on.
Who is Mary Shelley? Who is Walter Cronkite? What is the internet? What is calculus? What is onomatopoeia?
Well, that's what I remembered about the episode. Truthfully, you know, we've been looking at a lot of the funny stuff that you did, not just the dramatic or socially relevant. And I said, oh, this was a funny episode. I remember the banter between, you know, Claire and Brandon. And I completely forgot this is when you almost were going to get a divorce. And so I'm glad you got to show the, you know, the stuff that I remember too, which is her.
I want a copy of all these. I want a copy of all the shows.
Hey, Jessica, you were gonna say something before.
I just wanted to say a special hello to Mark, because I remind him of this every time I see him in over 30 years. He is based on my college boyfriend, whose name was Edmundo Vasquez, who was a Harvard Law student. And so since I identified so much with Andrea Zuckerman, it was only appropriate that I have this fabulously handsome Latino husband. So I never married my guy, but you were very, very, very much
Jessica,
a dream come true for me, Mark.
You just said that you loved writing for Andrea Zuckerman. What was it that you loved writing about?
She was smart and pretty, and that was just a terrific combination. And she was a Jewish girl, and was that was important to me. And it was disappointing that she couldn't go to Yale because she got pregnant. That was hard for all of us, but we were all very happy that she had a baby named Hannah, who was then part of the legacy of the show.
But in your post life, you did go to Yale, right? So
no, I went to Harvard. I'm sorry.
She goes to Yale.
You know, I mean, neither of them at the University of Pennsylvania, but they'll do in a pinch.
Aaron Rosen, what are you waving your hand about?
Well, I was saying, because the thing you said is that one of the reasons you liked Andrea was that, you know, just amongst the litany was she was smart and also good looking, pretty. And that struck me so much in our episodes. And one of the Jeopardy questions was, what round table wit said this quote, "Guys don't make passes at girls who wear glasses." And it was Dorothy Parker's, the person that did, a woman, but, you know, of another era. And that was how
here
it
we
was.
Are.
Well, I mean, with our glasses, but I, you know, Jessica was a smart girl. I was a smart girl. Gabby was a smart girl, but, you know, Andrea, very smart girl, right? But the connection to, I just watched an earlier episode with Steve when he was learning he'd been taken by the girl, and he, why don't I do so well with girls, and you know, and why do you like me, Andrea? And she says, because underneath that rude exterior, there's a sweet little boy that wants to have fun. And he was like, oh yeah, I am rude. And I love that episode because this is an aside, because his character actually grew in it and there was growth, etc. But then she said, well, why do you like me, you know? And he said, because it's not that many people that are both good to look out and really smart. And I thought, that is so
that,
you can pretty to good to look at, and you can actually talk to. And you can also look up to, right, exactly. You can also look up to. So I just thought that was like, that was 1991 or two, right? Whatever it was. So, and that, you know, would we say that today? And would she say thank you to that comment? I don't, you know what I mean? Like, we're so used to now looking at women without makeup on and natural beauty and all this stuff. And, you know, the spelling look in that era was not that. It was very made up. And
well, don't forget, when Aaron did the show, right, the dream of that show was, I'm coming back to family, right? The show Family. I'm going to do something that's
right.
Going to have a sense of earth and realness. And that's, and I always said that when I was cast as Andrea, I was a lucky moment in time, because I felt that the show changed years later and I never would have been cast, because I never would have been pretty enough to be the
star. Well, you could have, you were pretty enough.
Someone else's version of pretty. Yeah.
So he just had a plastic version.
But you know.
No, you were pretty.
I just want to give the props to Dorothy Parker, you know, one of my favorite writers, and my favorite line of hers, I don't think we could have used on the show, which is, she's sitting in the round table and one of the other New Yorker writers asks her, okay, you're so smart, use the word horticulture in a sentence. And her answer was, well, you can read a horticulture, but you can't make her drink. Excuse me, you can't make her think. You can't make her think. You can read a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
You goofed it up. But you,
I goofed it up.
I understand.
Age.
What doctor said it, yes, but don't you know that she was great. Dorothy Parker was great.
Mark, you wanted to add something before, I think.
No. Getting back to Gabrielle's appeal, I shared this with Gabrielle when we first met. I have a niece who was born almost exactly a year before the baby was born on the show. And she was 4 months old when I actually got on 90210. But her name is Gabrielle. And his favorite, my brother-in-law's favorite character on the show was Gabrielle Carteris. So he named her Andrea. He named her Gabrielle. And Gab is now pregnant with her first child. So your appeal goes even to country boys in Beaumont, Texas. So.
Hey, Mark, I want to thank you for stopping by and saying hello. And absolutely, we're going to do a deep dive with you on some of the work that you did on the show, because it's absolutely incredible as well. So we want to spend some time talking to you, too. But thanks for joining us here, man. All right.
I love you, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
See you on the day.
Bye, Mark. I will.
Nice to see you.
You guys, what a great surprise. Thank you.
You're welcome. That was amazing, right? Yeah. You were, before we came on the air, you were sharing a story about the star, right? You were teaching, right? And Melinda is asking about that too. She likes when you stood up to Leslie and Where's the Star of David. So do you want to share what you were talking about a little bit before we came on?
Yeah, so, you know, actually Chuck and Karen and I spoke about this last year. We were talking a little bit about, you know, 90210 tried to be very out there and forward. And Jessica, you did a lot by being able to get, you know, being able to get Mark to be my husband, to be having a Latino man, a mixed, you know, but the show struggled with, and I think, you know, Karen and Chuck tried to write for, you know, being really present and real. But the show was very stuck on this phraseology, which I actually heard in the industry a lot, of middle America and what they'll accept. And so during the time, my character was Jewish, and I had a beautiful Jewish star that I had gotten from my husband. And because my character was Jewish, it was known. My grandmother, you know, was Leni Kazan, and, you know, there was the whole Holocaust thing. So I wore my Jewish star. And one day I was contacted by, and I forget who was at the studio, that I could not wear my Jewish star anymore. Was it you, Chuck? I don't know. I wasn't allowed to wear my Jewish star anymore. And I said, why? What? And they said, well, you know, we don't think that middle America really wants to see it. I said, well, look, if I have to take off my Jewish star, then everybody who's wearing their crosses has to take off their cross. And it's later on, I was at one of the producers who was on the show, was at my house. And I turned to him and I said, and he was Jewish. He is Jewish. And I said,
network executive.
A network executive. And I said, I had like this epiphany. And I turned to him and I said, you're the one who had them have me remove the Jewish star. And he said, well, you know, Gabrielle, he said, you know, I don't know. He said, you know, my rabbi said, you know, you're not supposed to wear a Jewish star outside of your sweater or whatever. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, you know, just middle America. And I said, you're Jewish. Like, how could you say my character's Jewish? And what the show really struggled with was it wanted to be very inclusive of reality, except it was very afraid to step the line.
What the show, struggled with is that the network was owned by Rupert Murdoch.
There you go.
And also, it did great in New York and L.A. You know, it was the flyover states that they were talking about.
Right. Because Abby,
I wasn't allowed to touch. There was one of the characters I was thinking of, that was Jordan, but wasn't, who was a black character who I dated on the show. I wasn't allowed to touch him. I went to like hold his hand. They said, no, you can't. I said, he's my boyfriend on the show. No, middle America. I'm telling you, middle America was blamed for everything. And then what I used to say was, you know, we are all people, no matter where we live, we should be reflecting. And they struggled with that, struggled with showing the real stuff. And then whether it was the network, whether it was, I don't know where it came from, but there was a struggle. There was a struggle with it. You know, it's how to, that desire to be feeling that. And I think now we're really coming to terms as an industry and as a culture to realize people want to see themselves reflected on camera, right? We don't want to have milk and cookie lives. That's not our lives. It's not sustainable. What we need to see is who we are, and we need to see it reflected on screen. It's just, it was very difficult at that time. It was attempted, but it just was difficult to execute it. And I think they got better at it.
I was going to say got better.
Yeah. As the years went on, they allowed for instance, it was very difficult when my character got pregnant. There was a lot of pushback. The New York Times wrote about it. People were outraged about it. We worked through that, but it was years later again that what didn't Ian's, you know, he had a character whose wife got pregnant. I mean, girlfriend got pregnant. It became much more mainstream, I guess.
Well, you know, because it was a show that showed, you know, teenagers in high school prior to the college years having sexual relationships, like that's a fact of life. And that, you know, obviously we had to withdraw from that after the first Brenda Dillon, you know, for end of the first season. But then it was like, okay, they're sleeping together. You know, people are sleeping. And
but they hated the fact that the good things they said to me, Andrea is so smart, she wouldn't do that. And I said, smart people, smart has nothing to do with the fact that we live. And when we live, we have actions. Sometimes we make mistakes, whatever they are, but our intellect does not define that. And that was a really big, it was a really big discussion. You know, it was so interesting how people had such, you know, she would never do that. I was like, well, you're wrong.
And well, they did that a lot with the women. Two points though. One is that, yeah, we never had any dissonance or resistance to making the character Jesse Vasquez. Mr. Right. Spelling had realized that, you know, he wanted color in the main cast.
Right.
And he didn't want, and Hispanic was the color that he could be more happy with.
Right. But I don't think he could go black. That was interesting, right? Hispanic was halfway there. That's,
well, I probably for the times, you know, I don't remember the stuff with Michael Rollins. I mean, Michael's a really good actor, did everything else. But, you know, we just, you know, the one thing about the show is it had a limited bandwidth. There were only so many stories you could do and so many things that done. And it was not, it didn't become pressing. The difference, of course, when you came to me to talk about the desire to start a family with Charlie. And I said, Aaron Spelling's office is down the hall. That's what you have.
I went to Aaron. Aaron was great about it.
Yes, he was. But he never told the network. So all of a sudden you are pregnant. It was the Spelling way, by the way. You never told the network. You're pregnant. And Dan McDermott calls me in a snip. And I, what am I going to say? You know, wasn't me.
Aaron gave me
that Jaggy song. Wasn't me.
I had no idea. I went to have lunch with Aaron and I asked him, he said, oh my God, I thought you were going to tell me you were pregnant. You're not, you're asking. And I said, well, yeah, I didn't want to, you know, I feel really, and then he was like, yes. And I said, I don't want to hide the pregnancy. I want my baby to know I'm proud of her, you know, or him, whatever. And that I was, and he said, okay. But I never knew that he didn't tell the network.
And you wouldn't believe the fight. We don't have the writers on with us, but I want to, if they're listening, Roseanne Welsh and Christine Pettit wrote this script. It was their first collaboration, and Christine was my assistant. So it was this, and we ended up having to write all these letters back to the Los Angeles Times. The Los Angeles Times took a real shot at us because Andrea Zuckerman did not get an abortion.
I know.
And I don't know if you remember, Karen, being at a pretty much Hollywood dinner party kind of thing, where a woman who's I would consider a nice acquaintance friend of ours now really got all over me. How could I do this? Because I had said, if you were not pregnant, there would have been no way that I would just be wanting, at that point, 1993, 1994, 1995, didn't want to do a story about an abortion.
Right.
Because I knew half the country is going to be pissed off. And I, you know,
but I didn't want to be. I also asked, I didn't want to be. I said, you know, people make choices. And I said, that was really important too for me. I thought, you know, I am, you know, pro-choice, but I also believe in pro-choice, you could decide not to. And I felt that it was a really important decision that had to be reflected, because I think that goes on in the, I mean, it was really, for me, it was the highest honor to work on the show. I loved working with everybody. It was transformative in so many ways for me. It marked my life. It was the beginning of a journey that I will always be grateful for. And I will always, I can't even tell you how deeply honored I was to be able to be on that show.
Well, the pleasure was ours. What story, man, just thinking about you, Gabrielle, not Andrea, was in that second season, the van that you got for Meals on Wheels. Mm. Was it Meals on Wheels? You know, and all the cast was there and everybody was very proud of it. It was Gabrielle who put the whole thing together, and it meant a lot, because there were a lot of shut-ins at that point, a lot of people with AIDS in our town, and it was a really great thing.
Gabrielle, I'm curious, you know, you did have, from the start to through the whole time that you were there, very heavy material. You were always given such, you know, tough stuff. I guess it's, you know, you could handle it. You're such a talent. You know, I'm sure that's where it's coming from. What was it like to get a lot of that heavy material?
I always appreciate a good story. Always, it's great. I love working with the cast. I loved being able to, you know, for me, it was great. I can't say anything other than that it was, how great, I mean, to be able to go and do something that's interesting, that's controversial, I think is, you know, and the show did that. Jenny will talk a lot about, she loved, there's a joke, I guess she had every kind of violent act that could ever happen from whatever, but that, you know, I think everybody appreciates a really funny moment and then really being able to do something substantive, right? I like going back and forth. It's too hard to be heavy all the time. Love when I could do something light and breezy also. And I think that, you know, the more that there was variance, the more exciting it is to be able to, you know.
Did you go back and watch Down and Out in Beverly Hills, the one where you get sort of caught with Lainey Kazan, you get caught, you know, you get an award, so they're going to come interview you at the house and find out you don't live in Beverly Hills. I don't know if you just watched it recently or not. I just looked at it because it was back a ways, you know, on season two, right? And I thought, in my memory, I was thinking, was it a little cringeworthy? I was trying to remember, was Lainey, did she look too young? Or what was the thing, you know, why I had that? And then I watched it and it really holds up. Some of these early episodes, the way we judge them, you know, right, when I go back, you did a beautiful job acting-wise. You were great together with her. It was really a moving story also about it was wonderful. It was you were so good. And by the way, I did use some details from my life. We named her Grandma Rose after my grandma. And the ladies come in to play Kaluki, and they tell you have a cute little figure now, and you're all grown up. And look at you. You know, that was my mother and her, my aunties. But I just wanted to tell you, if you ever want to go back with your daughters and say you never saw this episode, you won't be sorry, because they do. You laugh and you cry, and it's great.
Also, to Karen Rosen, who wrote a stellar episode that is absolutely incredible. I just love that watched episode. That one again the other day. It's incredible. What was it like working with Lainey on this, Gabrielle?
I love Lainey. I worked with Lainey again. Actually, after this, she played my mother on she's wonderful. She's a real talent. And I talk about somebody who's, I mean, she's really very disciplined. I thought she was, I don't know how for you guys how it was, but for me, it was just wonderful. Talk about so rich and so real.
Well, that was great. You know, from the producer's standpoint, she knew this was out. She called Mr. Spelling without knowing that the father of the executive producer of the TV show was her children's pediatrician. So she was so effusive in this. Paul, it was the first time I ever heard him get a little fachated because it's like he didn't really like stunt casting. He didn't like celebrities coming in so much and warned me about that. And the interesting thing is that when we had to have grandma again, we did a availability and Lainey, who's got an amazing singing voice, she was on tour singing. I was like, okay, well, you know, you were right, Paul. But so that's one of the reasons that we did switch. But I do feel she looked a little younger than maybe I would have, in my mind, the grandmother, where I think the other actress, Beth Meisler, was very, was more what I saw in the part, but
you love them.
Let's talk about some of your more fun stuff. I don't think we could do this show without talking about this scene.
Hi, I'd like to exchange an egg.
You want to exchange an egg? Do you have a receipt?
No. Do I need a receipt? I mean, is that part of the thing?
It's customary to have a receipt when you want to exchange something.
I think we're in the wrong place.
No, this is all part of the deal. I want to exchange an egg.
I love that. What?
I think it's so funny that egg scene, everybody talks about that egg scene.
How funny.
Everybody, no matter where I go, they talk about the egg scene.
Yeah,
she was great, that lady.
And I'm hearing I'd like to exchange an egg from our t-shirt shop. So there you go. Yeah,
there was some blowback on the episode of Euphoria, and because of the drug taking and whatever else. And so as we're going through, and I'm getting notes, they got a snarky note about that egg scene. I don't get it. It's not funny.
It is. Well, they were wrong.
They were wrong. I just said you're wrong. And that was written by Jonathan Roberts, who went on to write The Lion King. So,
everybody loves the egg scene.
Yeah, I love it. Let me ask you about this. You know, Taisha asked you before about a Brandon Andrea relationship. There's this scene in Home and Again.
So, what's the big surprise?
Oh, God, this is making me so nervous.
What?
Well, I've got a going away present for you.
Well, what is it?
ta-da!
Now, love it. I have to ask you, working with Jason Priestley, it's had to be incredible. Another amazing chemistry. We talked a little bit about it earlier. What was it like working with him?
You know, I cannot say how much. Again, how lucky am I to be able to say this twice in a moment. I love working with Jason. He is a dear friend of mine, and we have been friends through all these years together. We did the new 90210 last year. And I remember saying to Jason, I was nervous about, you know, getting back together with everybody. And I said, Jay, you gotta be there with me, man. You gotta be there, gotta have my back. And, cause I was really nervous about it. And he's just, a stellar human being. And he's blossomed into an incredible man. He's a wonderful father. He's, you know, just, I could not say enough. I have been so, you are bringing up all my blessings.
That's
what amazing. I
yeah, yeah, no, he was.
Amanda says that scene showed how brave Andrea really was.
That's right.
Amanda. I want to also ask you about this. I feel like everybody in Lily's board is going to want to ask about working with, I'm trying to pull the him, Mark Kiley, who was Gil Myers, right? And there's all these kind of scenes. Andrea's always got dreams of the high wire, or you know, you mentioned the other dream later on, but what was it like working with Mark Gil Myers back in those days? And do you remember shooting some of those dream sequences? What was that like?
So Mark is he's a nice guy. I think he moved actually outside. He's moved away. I'm not sure, but he was wonderful. He was such, again, a really, you guys cast some great people. I mean, really wonderful, warm person, funny, just
good actor. He was a good actor. Yeah.
He's really grounded, really talented. And the dream sequence of the high wires, because I really did the high wire in real life. And so they wrote that for me. And it was harder to do that than it was to do the high wire, because I don't wear any belts or anything. I literally do it. Free with just the pole, and on this, because we're taking so many shots, I remembered so I wouldn't fall, and it was a lot of work, but it was fun. You know, that's the great thing about, I think what really the writers did for the show was to, our characters started to really reflect who we were. I guess, Jessica, kind of, you talked about as a writer, you know, you take some of your, or Larry, you know, some of your real personal life things, you know, Karen, you're talking about it. The essence of their real lives, and that's how they create language and a story that's, you know, believable. And so they started to write stuff that really reflected who we were. It kind of, we actually become, I guess, the silhouette of, you know, or the outline for the stories, and you could feel it. So there was so much authenticity in terms of the things that were written for us. Ultimately, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know, but, it was great to work with the show, because the writers really worked with us, I think, and who we were, and that makes it fun too.
Lily's been scouring her fan groups with some questions. So Lily, what do you have for Gabrielle or the writers about maybe any of the episodes, or what you got?
We have a few for Gabrielle. So I just wanted to let you guys know also that Molly Campbell was watching, and she sends a message to you all. Yeah. She sends her love and she says hello.
Oh, Molly was so great. She is a real talent. Oh, I hope she's doing well.
She was with us a couple months back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You were always good to me. So sweet. She told me great.
And our friend Darren Martin submitted a question. He wants to know, which actress did you look up to when you were younger, and what made you want to become an actor?
Well, first of all, Darren is one of our biggest fans.
Yes.
All of this. So I'm sure.
Number one.
We'll give him the crown.
He worked with us last year, and he was really good. His mark, did his lines, he was great. So it was good to see you, Darren. What actresses? There's a lot of actresses. I love Sally Field. When, you know, I loved her when, particularly, yeah, Norma Rae, and you can see there's a real synergy there. I love, you know, who I really loved. I love Katherine Hepburn, Patty Duke. I mean, there's so many different people. There's so many great actors and actresses out there. I don't know, a lot of them. Every time I see somebody, I go, that's great. That's I love that. That's great. So
what else you got, Lily?
So one question that came up quite a bit was, what are some of your, what was like your favorite or least favorite storylines for Andrea? And was there ever any storyline that you wish would have been explored for your character?
I think that I would have, I liked all this. God, you guys are asking me to remember things that are really a long time ago. I think that I actually would have loved, I sometimes felt that there was a fear of writing. I think there were really interesting stories for me, but there was a lot of us. So, you know, we had to keep it with the Brandon and Brenda stuff. But I think sometimes I wanted to be able to expand on some of the relationships a little bit more, not just fly in and fly out. Like there was a moment, the story's told, and then it ends, and then we're moving on. And sometimes I think that it, you know, it's hard because it's a serial kind of, you know, show, but I would have liked that. I think that I would have liked to have seen Andrea older in the choices that she made, you know, going on. But I can't tell you. I always just enjoyed the ride. I don't think I feel like I should have something deeper to say, but I don't. I just love it.
That's great. You got any more, Lily?
I do. Two more. Really quick. Last week we learned from Karen while we were discussing the season 3 summer episodes on the beach that you had already known sign language. Yeah. What was the reason that you learned? Was there someone in your life that you learned for?
When I was a little girl, and I remember walking home from school, there was a young girl who these kids were beating up. They took her books and threw it on the street, and she was deaf. And so I told them to get lost, whatever. And I helped her to put her books together, and I walked her home, and I met her family. And they gave me a whole thing on how, you know, just the alphabet. And then I also loved Patty Duke when she was a young girl. And she did a miracle worker. Years later, she played my mother. But because of her signing and from miracle worker, seeing Helen Keller and knowing this young girl, I started to learn sign. And then I went to work in a school for the deaf. I was a translator for students. And I just got involved with it. And then they knew that I did signing. So, they went and created. That was a fun character. That was really fun for me to be able to, again, something real was really fabulous. It was substantive. It was authentic. I really enjoyed that. It was a great storyline.
You're right about it. Because when you did things, whether it was what you just described, when we put Jason on skates, when we got Brian into his music. You know, it wasn't just a reward. It was clearly that it would spark to it. You know, all of you always did.
It was great. It was really, those were always the fun moments when they allowed us to actually do something that was, I guess, substantive. You know, something that was real and just wasn't just a story. It was great.
The trick is, of course, is that it laid in. It wasn't the episode about the deaf kid. It just was one of the things there and being there. And we just didn't do, unlike what we were forced to do in season 1 and season 2, because we had the summer, we could have the young character and the mother be in multiple episodes.
Right. It was great.
Right. Right. They got to be in there.
Gary wrote me a note. It was in summer. Gabrielle, we're getting ready for a summer show. You better lose weight so you can wear a bathing suit. Which I did not. I refused.
Who wrote that?
Aaron. Which I refused to. Actually, you'll never have seen me in a bathing suit on the show. I was so upset about it. That's when I was wearing my overalls and all that. I was really in great shape, but I was not going to be the girl to show my, I wasn't for me. Not that there's anything.
You didn't want to wear butt floss? Gabby, what's wrong with you? I don't know.
I just didn't want that to be what my character was about. But I remember getting that note. I was like, yeah, not.
He didn't share that note with me. No. I'm learning this for the first time.
And then, you know, Gabrielle, Andrea leaves, and that's such a beautiful scene, which I don't have a clip of, but of you leaving, the Andrea's character leaving, and it's almost like Oz. I think that's even written in there. What is your memory of leaving the series? And do you remember that shooting that and feeling like
I was crying so hard that I couldn't shoot it again. Like I said, get it now. It was hard to leave. It was, you know, some part of me was really ready to go on. I was doing my talk show. I was going to go, and another part of me wasn't. And I, you know, these are the people I knew. I grew up into my life on that show. I got married in real life during that time. I bought my first home. I came to LA to have a life. This was my family. And to leave was so painful that when we shot that last scene and then there was the end of the season party, I didn't go to the end of the season party. I got dressed to go And I sat and I cried. I just couldn't, I'll cry now. I couldn't say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah, it was so on the Queen Mary.
I'm so sad that I never did, because I would have loved, I really, they didn't know I wasn't going to be there. So I heard, like, you know, Gabrielle, there was a big thing to say goodbye. I couldn't do it. And I, to this day, wish I had. So I would say to everybody out there, you know, no matter how sad or hard something is, if you can follow through with it, the end might be much more fulfilling than the loss of not ever knowing. And I never really got to be able to say the real, I love you all. Thank you for the gift of being a part of my family. But it was very, very hard to say goodbye.
Lily, you said you had one more question you wanted to throw in the
mix. Yeah, for Gabrielle, where do you see Andrea in today's world? What would Andrea be up to in 2020?
Oh, now. Well, Andrea's
president of SAG, of course. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, I would be, if we had this president who's running this country now, and this is, I could say this personally, I would be definitely fighting this. I would be a major advocate trying to definitely have, I would either be politically involved to go and to make a difference, or maybe I would be running a hospital. I think Andrea was really, I think she was the most wonderful character. And whatever she would have done, she would have been right out there as a shining star. I loved her as a character. Loved it.
And we loved her too.
Yeah. Gabrielle, I just wanted to, you know, we're close here to wrapping up. We appreciate your time. I know you're a very busy person, but yeah. I'm all about gratitude these days. So I wanted to let you know that the outpouring of the essays that we got when we announced you were coming on the show was, like, incredible. Everybody was just talking about, like, how you made a difference in their life by like just wearing glasses, or, you know, how you like tackled a big issue or whatever it was. There was just something about what you did in that series that identified with a lot of people. And I think it probably speaks to your ability to just play so honestly and integrity that you walk with. And you're still making a difference in this world today. You know, you're out there fighting the fight, and you're sticking up for so many amazing people. And we just appreciate you. I mean, we all love you here. You know, you got such an outpouring.
Sure. Yeah. I want to see those essays. I think that's amazing.
Me too.
You're going to post them instead, right?
We're going to put all the essays on social media. Well, of course, I'll email them to you as well so that you can read them.
I'll say one of the things I loved about Andrea, and this is really also to the writers of this, but I think one of the reasons that people loved Andrea, I think we all feel a little bit misunderstood, a little bit not seen, right? We appear good, you know, a certain way, but we all live our secret personal lives of not being totally known for who we are. And I think that Andrea touched that bit of all of us that said, you know, I know you see me here, but you don't see me here necessarily. And I think that essence of that reality is what made her such a beautiful character to play.
Before you leave, somebody asked this question. I want to ask it to you. How was it, Michelle asks, how was it working with Luke? And I have to say, when I went to Double Jeopardy, Chuck, earlier, there is a beautiful scene with Mark and Luke. And I was just, again, taken back by how great of a performer Luke is. What was it like for you working with Luke, Gabrielle?
Luke was, you know, I mean, for everybody here, he was a lovely human being. And when Luke, I remember the first day when he came to do the read through at your house. And I remember that night, Karen. And Luke came in saying, oh my God, he said, they just gave me this part. And they said that I better do a good job because they didn't give me a contract on it and I might be fired. That's how nervous he was when he first came to read, and then he, aww, you know, came to be what he was. But Luke was a very, you know, a really kind guy. Like, he was fun. Luke was always fun. But he was really, you know, he was like a listener. He'd really like see what was going on. He'd like to be a prankster. But he also, Luke was deep, you know, even when the show finished and when I came into my presidency, when there were problems on his set, you know, he was working. And he would call me and he'd say, you know, I'm worried about the actors. And when I got injured, Luke called me, if you need any help, I'll stand up for you, Gabrielle. And he was Luke, you know, he fought so hard to look like the guy who loved horses all the time. He wanted everybody to know he was the real guy, but he didn't need to do that because he just was the real guy, you know? But yeah. he was just, he was a wonderful man. He really, it was a very painful loss, really.
Yeah. Well, thank you for making time out for us on our show here today. We love you so much, Gabrielle. Thank you. Hey, guys, Larry, for everyone watching, Larry and I are going to be back on Friday with Susan Keats talking about season 6. That should be very fun. Emma,
she was Andrea Zuckerman 2.0.
Yeah. We did not plan this, by the way. It just happened that we both were available the same week. So
in theory, but I have one thing to say, because I, you know, Chuck and Jess and Karen, I had never seen the season ender of season 1, of course, which is really good. And of course, there's, you know, Gabby kind of offers herself up as a going away present. And I realized in the fan fiction world of where Andrea's character is, her and Brandon still have heat because they've never consummated, like the, you know, like the ode to a Grecian urn or whatever classic love story. They still could happen. So I just want to throw that out there. Too.
On the redo, when we do the redo of the redo, there
still
go.
There.
Exactly. That's so
you had two kisses in that show. Two kisses.
Yeah. Amazing.
And he said she was a very good kisser.
Yes. Yes, I noticed that.
One was serious.
And then she kissed her again, and the one we were just talking about on
yes,
the beach.
Yes, the one last. Oh,
yeah,
yes,
and she gets a little slap in the face.
So,
and,
you know, in the future, it could happen, you know, like the Grecian urn, you know. The lovers are still trying to catch.
Before I go, I just have to say to you guys, thank you so much. And I really did love being a part of the show. And, of course, love seeing you guys. You are really, to see you all here right now is really wonderful. Just
thanks for coming on. Gabrielle and everybody, thanks for watching. We will see you guys Friday at 5 p.m.
All right. Bye-bye.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.